As we mentioned in our opening, you know, Christians are not immune to problems, confusion. Sometimes they get depressed, and there's a lot of worldly options out there. But it's an organization coming to the Green Bay area, and joining us this morning to talk about biblical counseling is Rob Green from Faith Church in Indiana. Rob, welcome to Stand Up for the Truth.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about Faith Church in Indiana and what you're doing in this area of biblical counseling, Rob.
Yeah, we are a church that has had a counseling ministry for 40-plus years. It was started by our former senior pastor. And just as a result of the concern that they had for the difference between what they would see on Sunday morning and how people would struggle on the rest of the week, say Thursday evening, they decided they wanted some help. And so they sought some training on how to help a real person with a real problem with their Bible. And as a result of that, they developed a ministry. And that ministry is now part of Faith Church called Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries, where we not only counsel those in our church and in our community, but also provide counseling training. And one of those training opportunities is going to take place in Green Bay.
Excellent. And let's talk about that. It's coming up March 2nd and 3rd, April 6th and 7th, and May 4th and 5th. So it's a three-weekend format, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and apparently it's going to run Friday from 5 to 9:45, and then Saturday 8 to 5 p.m. I do want to give you a couple places before we continue with Rob where you can register for this. You can go to faithlafayette.org/Green Bay, or you can call Spring Lake Church here in Green Bay at 983-9090. Rob, I want to touch base on something you talked about Christians gathering for fellowship on Sunday, and everything is just praise God, life is great, and then by Thursday we feel like we've been had the snot kicked out of us by the world. Is this an effect of the fact that we're not feeling open or safe about talking about our issues as Christians with one another?
Well, I think sometimes there can be a stereotype with counseling, and that's one of the reasons why we actually use the word discipleship as well. So when we think about counseling, what we envision is an intensive form of discipleship. Of course, every church is seeking to disciple the members of their church through various ministries, whether it's the Sunday morning service or whether it's through small group or men's Bible studies or ladies' Bible studies that they have throughout the week. But sometimes that just doesn't seem to be enough for everyone. There's still a disconnect between what God says and then what happens in their daily lives. And so that's where biblical counseling comes in. That's where, what do you do when a family in your church has the wheels fall off? Or what do you do when a person in the community is struggling with a marriage or struggling with parenting and they just don't know where to turn? Maybe they have sought some help from places and it just didn't result in life change. And so we want to be a place where we can sit down one-on-one, maybe one-on-two, with our Bibles and help that person with the struggles that they're facing.
Rob, why is it important for churches to begin biblical counseling ministries in their churches?
Well, I suppose one of the greatest reasons is because of the needs that are around them. Take any church and draw a circle where the radius is 1 mile, and in that circle, you're going to have hurting families. You're going to have people struggling with anger, anxiety, depression. You're going to have parents who have no idea how to parent the children that God has given them. And you're going to have people who just learned that they have cancer. And that's the kind of the problems of everyday life. And so churches have God's word. They have the message of the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection, and return of Jesus Christ. And they have the greatest resources available to help them with their struggles. And so we think it's simply part of the Great Commission. We're called to evangelize and we're called to teach. And counseling provides one of those opportunities. In the 40 years of our church, I could tell you one of the greatest ways that we have experienced church growth is actually through the counseling ministry. Because people may not be part of a church, but their grandma may have taken them when they were 8 years old, and now they're struggling with something, and they say, well, you know what, I'll agree to come and let somebody talk to me about my struggles in the Bible. Hmm. And they hear the message of the gospel. Repent and actually become part of the church. And so there's an evangelistic component to biblical counseling that is one of the reasons. And then the other is just simply having the church have meaningful service opportunities for everyone in it. I think the average pastor would say he would love to see more and more people in his church engaged in meaningful ministry. And there's a great opportunity for them to do that through biblical counseling.
Rob, is it that perhaps many Christians are ashamed to admit we struggle, that maybe our fear is, as our brothers and sisters in Christ see us struggling, they're going to look at us as maybe lesser Christians?
I think that's true for some. One of the things that I think churches that get into this really work at is to say, you know what, we're all growing and we're all seeking to change and we all need help. One of the stories that I like to tell in my counseling room is just some of the ways in which I have failed over the years. And there are times when I'll get done telling a story and my counselee's eyes are as big as quarters and they look at me like, what in the world am I come talking to you for? You're more messed up than I am. And in which I just respond, yeah, you're probably right. And I'll tell you what, after we're done with talking about your problems, we'll just change chairs and you can talk about mine. And that's one of the beauties of having a ministry that is founded on the doctrine of progressive sanctification, where none of us have arrived and none of us have everything settled in our lives, and therefore we all need to grow and change. And that sort of removes the stigma of, wow, if you're going to counseling, there must be something really bad wrong with you.
And that's, I think, a lot of people believe that just because you said it is exactly what it is, a stigma. I want to ask you this. We have had a recent guest on who is a psychologist and an expert in family counseling, and he shared his honest thoughts, and he's been in this for years. He said psychology or that kind of therapy outside of biblical counseling has done more damage than good. What are your thoughts on that, Rob?
Well, I think what we would say is we are all for what we would call good psychology, just like we're good for we want good preaching and we want good Bible studies and we want good everything. And one of the things that we have dedicated ourselves to is to using the Scripture not only as a filter but as a source. In other words, it is the source of truth. It's the source of authority. And as a result, we're just trying to connect the struggles that people face with what the Scripture actually says. And then trying to help them see that if they get to know God better and they get to know themselves better through what God says about them, and if they understand God's power better, then the reality is that that is a means for hope, for encouragement, and also for change, that God would be the one who changes them from the inside out.
Rob, is it that we can recite the Scriptures, we've got our favorite Scriptures memorized, but something in us, a part of that sinful nature remaining in us, we just don't fully trust what God says. We claim to, but something's stopping us from fully trusting everything in that Bible.
I think the biblical writers often speak about that. And one of the things I love about the Scripture is just how open and honest it is. And God didn't actually hide any of that stuff away. You know, for example, in Psalm 13, David says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" And this is a man that the Bible describes as a person after God's own heart. And so even a person who has that description from God himself as a man after God's own heart is still a man who at various points and times in his life struggled to believe that God was caring for him, that God was with him, that God loved him, that God was going to rescue him from whatever calamities might face. And when I show a counselee that, I say, you know what, you're in good company. You're not the only one who's ever thought that. And you're not the only one who's ever had to wrestle with really hard questions. And what God is inviting you to do through his word is to asking you to run to him and to investigate whether or not God is actually faithful. And in Psalm 13, David, after confessing that it seems like God has left him, that God has forgotten about him, he says, "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God." He says, "Lord, you're the only one who can rescue me." And what we're trying to communicate to our counselees is you have to keep running towards the Lord in your prayer, in your Bible study, in your church attendance, in your thought life. And the psalm ends with, I have trusted in your loving kindness because you have been good to me. Because you've been good to me. And that's not how the psalm started.
Mm-hmm.
But it is where our counselees can go. So the person who's coming in with the hardest question, the deepest struggle, can say, the Bible was talking to me. It wasn't just for all of the really spiritual people who had their act together. It wasn't just for the Enochs of the world who were so godly that God took them. It was for everyone else, too, who really struggled and wrestled with the circumstances that they were facing. And yet, God's Word speaks to them, too. And I love being able to tell counselees that.
Oh, I love it. You know, God's Word, the gospel, is all about broken people and God restoring them and creating them in new life. You're listening to Stand Up for the Truth on Q90FM. Our guest is Rob Green from Faith Church Bible Counseling in Indiana. More with Rob when we come back.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupforthetruth.com. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment. This is Stand Up for the Truth. Call in your questions now at 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Now back to Mike LeMay.
Our final segment with Rob Green of Faith Church Biblical Counseling in Indiana. Want to give you the particulars on the upcoming seminar again. It is Fridays from 5 to 9:45 and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And here are the dates, March 2nd and 3rd, April 6th and 7th, and May 4th and 5th. And for registration, go to faithlafayette.org/Green Bay or call Spring Lake Church here in Green Bay at 983-9090. Rob, when people attend this, is it more about learning how to be counseled or to counsel and help others?
You know, I think that the purpose of the conference is equipping. And so what we're trying to do is to help individuals understand how to help somebody else with their Bible. But I think oftentimes what happens is, as you sit and think about, how would I help a person become a more godly husband than what they are right now? You begin to reflect on, boy, how am I doing as being a godly husband? Or when you're being trained about, here's how you help somebody who's really had a lot of communication struggles, you begin to think, boy, is that the way I communicate? And so what we have found over the years, in fact, some of the sweetest memories I have of is walking out of a session and seeing a person in the hallway. And one particular guy said, hey, I came to this training because I serve guys in a residential home and I want to improve my abilities in order to serve them better. And I just had to call my wife and tell her that what God was doing in my own life and repent for the ways in which I had not treated her with the level of love and respect that I needed to. And it was just a sweet moment. And that's exactly right. The purpose of the conference is equipping. So we want people to understand how to help someone else with the struggles they face, using God's Word in order to do that. But in the course of the training, people often will have God work in their own life and help them see areas where they could grow and they could change. And one of the statements that we like to make is the best counselor is, first of all, a good counselee. In other words, it's being willing to look for our own ways to grow and change first. That gives us the opportunity then to speak about the ways somebody else needs to grow and change.
Rob, in one of your past blogs mentioning Habakkuk, you said at the end, when we respond with faith and worship in the midst of unpleasant surprises, we ultimately understand more about the God of the Bible and we see him more clearly. What I know this, you could probably talk for a couple hours on this, but for someone that might say that might she's a Christian or he's a Christian and the person has read the Bible, has been in churches, and they still don't believe that God's being good to them or has been good to them. How would you start with someone like that?
Well, you know, one of the things I want to begin with is just acknowledging the amount of trouble and suffering that they have experienced. Sometimes life is very hard, and I don't want to minimize the fact that life is hard. In fact, one of the things that points us to the glories of heaven is a hard life. The second thing I would want to emphasize is how God's people responded to the challenges in the past. To see, as you mentioned, people like Habakkuk or like David, who were experiencing hardship, incredible difficult times, and yet look to the Lord for his presence and for his help and for his encouragement each step of the way. Then I think as you move into our day and age, the New Testament times, we also have the joy of seeing the finished work of Christ. And so we not only can think about God's goodness to us in the mundane, everyday kind of circumstances, but more importantly, we get to see it from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that the cross has changed our eternal destiny. And the indwelling spirit, which in the Old Testament was something that was given for specific periods at specific times for specific reasons, is now given to us as a seal, as a pledge of our redemption. And so we can look at God's goodness through the lens of the cross, and then we can look at God's goodness through the desire and the future that is still to come. And so that allows us to see that God is in the midst of helping me right now through his presence and his individual care, but it also helps me see that God has always designed us to long for the future redemption of everything, when all will be made right. And as we are sensitive to the struggles they face, as we help them see the biblical examples of those who have gone before, as we show them the significance of the cross work of Christ, and as we see the hope for the future, that gives encouragement, it gives hope, and it at least reframes the challenges and circumstances that they're facing.
Very well said, Rob. I think of sometimes Christians will have unrealistic expectations that you submit to Jesus Christ and, boy, life is going to be seashells and balloons. I'm never going to get sick. I'm never going to be poor. But you look at Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes, and among other things, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn. Blessed when you are reviled and persecuted, for your reward in heaven is great. How important is it, Rob, to help Christians have a eternal perspective rather than getting caught up in the circumstances of everyday life?
Well, it's important for all of us. I think that's one of the reasons why I actually enjoy what you might call grief counseling. You know, I was talking to a woman not long ago who got married right out of high school, and she lived with her dear hubby for 35, 40 years, and then he died. And after his death, she went to a home that was empty for the first time in her life. So for the very first time, she was in her 60s before she had ever walked into a home by herself.
Wow.
She'd always been with either her family, her mom and dad, or with her hubby. And what an opportunity to talk to her about God's grace, about his presence, about his care, and about the future. That there's going to come a day when all is made right, and all the things that they endured, the cancer that ultimately took her husband, will be no more. And there'll be no more tears and no more crying and no more death, for all those things have passed away. And what a great encouragement to her. For the rest of us, we have to face the reality that God designed us to seek the welfare of our city today. In other words, to live where we are, but also to have one eye pointed to the future. Titus 2 says, looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's always a sense in which there should be one eye on the future. Paul would say, encourage us to remind ourselves that we are citizens of heaven, not citizens first of earth, but first of heaven. And whether we are young, old, doing well, not doing well, we all need that truth.
Indeed we do. Rob, in the couple minutes we have left, a little bit about the mechanics. People that attend over these 3 weekends, what can they expect? A lot of small group, a lot of big group teaching. Give us a little bit of the mechanics of what people who attend can expect.
Over these 3 weekends, they're going to receive about 30 hours worth of teaching and equipping. And so this is not a conference where you go sit by the beach for a few hours and then you go listen to someone talk for an hour and then you go back to the beach for an hour. This is a time where we're really investing in equipping. And so there's going to be a series of lectures that help a person understand the basics of what biblical counseling looks like. What does it look like to minister to another person one-on-one with your Bible? Then we're going to show a few sessions. In other words, they're mock sessions that give the person an idea of, okay, now I'm connecting what the lecture said to what that picture is. In other words, what that counseling session looks like. And then what we're going to be doing is helping to equip individuals to counsel the very basic kind of cases. You know, what do you do when a family or a person says, I'm really struggling with my communication? How do I approach that? Or you know, how do you help a couple learn how to do their marriages according to God's rules? Or how do you help somebody who's really struggling with anger? These are the kinds of basic Christianity 101 kind of things that we're going to be talking about over that 3 weekends. It's a first step that people are going to walk away with a whole host of material that they can look at later. And it's going to be a great time together as we just enjoy what God has provided for us and ways in which he might use us in the future.
Well, I think the timing of this, March, April, or May, is perfect for people not wanting to go to a beach in Wisconsin, so unless they're polar bears. But, Rob, it sounds really interesting. Again, something I think we as Christians just have this fear of opening up and letting people know we're hurting sometimes. And as you mentioned, and I think we need to be encouraged by what you talked about, the greats in the Bible, Peter, David, Paul, they struggled sometimes to understand what they were going through. So the enemy wants to isolate us, make us feel like there's something wrong with us if we have doubts or fears. But God is greater and his word is greater, isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
Excellent. I want to give you the information on this one more time. It is March 2nd and 3rd, April 6th and 7th, and May 4th and 5th. Fridays from 5 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And you can call Spring Lake Church. It's going to be held there. Their number is 983-9090. Rob, we have an international audience. For other churches that might be listening and say, I'd like to do this in my church, how can they connect with you?
Well, they can contact us through our website at faithlafayette.org. And if they're in one of the Latin countries, we have been doing a fair bit of training with our Hispanic brothers and sisters in Christ. So there may be even some opportunities that are closer to them than they may even realize.
Excellent. Well, Rob, we appreciate you taking the time from your busy schedule. We'll be praying that the Lord really makes this a tremendous event where people find healing and learn how to help others find healing. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
God bless you. Rob Green, again, the website, faithlafayette.org, or you can call Spring Lake Church at 983-9090.